So my name's Julia. I know there's a few faces in the room that I haven't met before, so I'm part of the team here at Life Church, and it is a real privilege to be able to share with you here this morning. So we had Easter last weekend. We had an amazing Good Friday service here. Oh, before I forget, Jeremiah's already forgotten, and we're not going to get to 11 o'clock. Apparently, there is meant to be a tsunami siren at 11 this morning, so we can just go acknowledge it. Probably stop because we don't know how loud it's going to be, and then we're just going to move on. It's okay. We joked about having like a prize out on the deck for whoever could get out there fastest, but we decided against it. We'll just kind of roll with it, okay? So when that comes, we know it's coming. It's not an actual emergency, we hope. So we had an amazing service last weekend. We were here on Good Friday at this campus, and then we were at our La Vida campus on Sunday morning, and it was an awesome, awesome weekend. And so I hope that those that came along had an amazing time. I know there was also lots of people away. We had some family coming down from Nelson, and they said, honestly, it was like Christchurch was being evacuated, the amount of cars that were heading up in the other direction. So obviously there were lots of people that got away. So we hope you had a great holiday as well, and that everyone's feeling relaxed with those extra few days off. And yeah, and then where's my parents of young children? How are we all going this morning? Yep, mine didn't get the memo either this morning. He was still rolling on the same time, but it's all good. You know, we got some projects completed. My husband built us a new fence, which I am like super excited about. Done? Nope, no one got any projects done. Clearly you guys were not part of the crowd at Mitre 10 and Bunnings last week. We were there. Obviously you guys were in the caravans heading out of town, weren't you? No, but amongst all of that, I was just blown away again by the power and the truth and the significance of Easter. You know, we go, it's an amazing weekend. We get all this time off. It's a great holiday. But actually, man, the story of Jesus, man, when we let that settle in our hearts, every single time, it will blow me away. And I feel like the significance of it just every year just makes me go, wow. And it even led to my husband Ben and I having a conversation and talking about how we make such a big deal out of Christmas. You know, we decorate our house, we have, you know, nativity sets, we have stories, we have songs, all of those things. You know, as a family, we make a big deal out of Christmas. But actually, Easter is the bigger deal, right? And what are some of the traditions, what are some of the things that we can do as a family to help our son realize the significance of Easter, of Jesus, the crucifixion, and the resurrection, and know that that Christmas is cool and Christmas is awesome. But Easter's the amazing part where it all changed, right? And so this week, I've been thinking still a lot about that. And my thoughts have been going to that first Easter. You know, what must it have been like that first week after Jesus rose from the dead? So let's recap a minute from the disciples' perspective. Jesus has come into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, and the crowds are honoring him and they're cheering. The disciples thought that this was it. This was the triumphant king coming to take his place. And then he ends up before Pilate and is accused of blasphemy. He is whipped and beaten and then crucified. The disciples' world is blown apart. And now they're scared and hiding away because they don't know what is going to happen to them now. They are grieving because all that they thought Jesus was and all that they had seen and all they had been learning about God just doesn't seem to make sense to them now. Then, on the third day, the woman go to the tomb in the morning and come running back saying that someone has taken him. Some of the disciples take off running and find that indeed the stone has been rolled away and his body is gone, but the material that he was wrapped in is still there. Angels show up in the tomb and go, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." And while Mary Magdalene is at the tomb, she turns around and sees and speaks to Jesus herself. Jesus then starts showing up and spending time with people in locked rooms while they are scared and freaking out a bit, he appears and shows them his hands where the nails went in. He shows them his side where he was pierced. What a week, right? Can we just put this in our scenario for a minute? You know, some stuff has happened and we are scared and it is a big deal for us to gather together. We've taken down all the signage outside. We've spread out and we've parked our cars blocks away and we've snuck in through the red zone at different times so that people don't notice that we're coming in and gathering together. The music isn't loud this morning. We're playing it quietly to not draw attention to ourselves as we try and figure out what is going on. It's the week after Jesus has been crucified, and some of us have seen the empty tomb. Hannah has seen him already and has spoken to him, but we don't believe her. We think that maybe she's a bit mistaken. She didn't have her glasses on. She thought it was a gardener, like, cool Hannah, like. And then all of a sudden, Bill's down the back and he starts to freak out a little. He's like, guys, he's here. And while we know that all the doors are locked, suddenly we look over there. We turn around and we see sitting with us, Jesus. You know, some of us have been at the cross. We've seen his dead body. Some of us have helped to carry his body to the tomb. Some of us have seen the empty tomb. But then we turn and we see him here with us. We get to touch the holes in his hands. He shows us the piercing in his side. Do. What do we do? The resurrection, it changed everything. If God was the only one that can raise people from the dead, and you have people going around saying that they're God, and then they die, and they stay dead, they weren't God. But if you have someone who claims to be God, and is then crucified, and is dead, and then God raises him from the dead, what he said was true. So what did he claim that he was, now that has proven to be true because of the resurrection? Well, here are a few. One, Jesus claimed to be God. Two, Jesus claimed to fulfill scripture. Three, Jesus claimed to come from heaven. Four, Jesus claimed to be sinless. Five, Jesus claimed to be able to forgive sin. Six, he claimed to be the only way to heaven. Seven, Jesus claimed to be able to give eternal life. Eight, Jesus claimed to be Christ. And there are so much more, but those are just a few for you this morning. And okay, let's go. Let's grab one of these while we're... Now, I don't have time to go into all of these this morning, but can I encourage you to have a look in the Pathway book? Because this is one of the things that it talks about, is actually the different claims of Jesus and what were the significance of them, and it goes through and unpacks all of those different ones. You know, because Jesus was alive, these things were all true. It changed everything. People's lives were changed because of it. Paul writes to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom were still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection changed people. He was the promised Messiah. In his life, death, and resurrection, he fulfilled over 300 Old Testament prophecies. Here are just a few of them. Numbers 24:17, he would be from the line of Jacob. Isaiah 11:1, he would be born from the family of Jesse. Jeremiah 25:5, he would be David's kingly heir. Micah 5:2, he would be born in Bethlehem. Isaiah 7:14, he would be immaculately conceived, born of a virgin. Psalm 72:10, he would be worshipped and given gifts at his birth. Jeremiah 31:15, a king would murder children in an attempt to kill Jesus. Isaiah 11:1, the Messiah would be called a Nazarene. Psalm 78:2, he would speak in parables. Zechariah 9:9, he would be called a king. Zechariah 11:12, he would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, and a potter's field would be bought with the money. Isaiah 53:7, he would be silent when accused. Isaiah 53:12, he would be killed with criminals. Isaiah 53 would be a sacrifice for sin. That's just a few. I didn't even give you the whole 300, and they say there's even some more than that as well. Yeah, it's amazing. Without the resurrection, we don't have Christianity. We don't have a Savior, and we don't have good news. The resurrection changed everything. If he was just a good person or a great teacher or a charismatic political leader, they can have a legacy, but you can go to their grave. They don't get resurrected from the dead, and they can't restore a broken humanity to God. They don't show the great love that God has for people and his absolute sovereignty over creation. The empty tomb, it changed everything. He's alive. He's alive. Did you hear? He's alive. If he was still dead, the disciples were going back to what they did before. But instead, they gave their lives to share this with others. This became something that they were willing to lay their lives down for, and many did. It changed them. It moved them. They became courageous where they had been fearful. They became confident where they doubted. They became compassionate where they had been callous, and generous where they had been self-seeking. And the church began to grow as more and more people had an encounter with Jesus, or with someone who had their life changed by him. And it continues to do that today. I was just reading the other day about a woman in Nigeria. Nigeria is now the 6th most dangerous place to currently be a Christian. It's a tough place, isn't it, Juma? You know, she had recently lost her husband as he was killed by rebels who persecuted Christians. He had gone to a nearby village to help baptize some new believers. Amazingly, despite losing her husband, the father of her 2-year-old son, who was killed because of his faithful obedience to Christ, she said she could never think of leaving Jesus. She said, "He has done everything for me." She said, "When I'm sick, he heals me. When I pray, he hears me. I see the evidence of all he does in my life. That is why I will not leave him." The significance of the empty tomb has the power to change us still. One of our global mission teams that we have partnered with encourages us to pray regularly with them for Jesus to reveal himself in dreams and visions to the unreached people group they're working among. Recently, we got this message from them. One of the girls in our education program shared with us a dream that she had recently. She was standing on one side of a cliff, and her friends were on the other side. She wanted to be with them, but there was no bridge to cross over. Then the man with the beard, long hair, with light brown skin, came and told her that he could show her the way to a better life. She took his hand, and then her grandparents came and started beating the man, trying to stop her from going with him. The man said that he would not let her go, and she wanted to go with him. To us, it seems like she met Jesus in a dream, but he did not reveal his name to her. Exciting as this dream is, we feel it is better to pray and wait until Jesus reveals himself by name to her. Isn't that amazing? We want to continue to pray for that little girl, right? There are also people within our church that is their story. They've come from really tough cultures and places, but Jesus has spoken to reveal himself to them in a dream. And they now live with a deep conviction of the resurrection of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? A risen Jesus calls us and reconciles our relationship to the Father. It's amazing. It's incredible. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive. And then there is Thomas. You know, John 20, verses 24, we pick it up, reads, "Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord!' But he said to them, 'Unless I see the nail marks in his side and his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.' A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe.' Thomas said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' Then Jesus told him, 'Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.'" This amazes me every time. Firstly, all the others are there, and you're the guy that comes back and goes, "What happened?" Yeah, we've all been that person, right? The one that just comes back into the room and you know something significant's happened, but you've just missed it. It sucks. You know, if there was a moment not to miss, this wasn't it. But then, what gets me? Bless his heart. The others must have been losing their minds. The others have all seen him. And a whole week later, Thomas is still like, "Yeah, guys, I don't know about that." Everyone else, a whole week, and he's still like, "Did you guys really? Like, maybe you're all losing it." You know, I would just love to sit down with him and go, "What was that week like, Thomas? What was it like?" Well, they're all talking and excited and sharing this stuff. What was that whole week like for you? But I think we can all be a little like Thomas, right? Yes, the doubts. We can all have doubts from time to time. But also the feeling of, if I was there when that happened, it would have been different for me. If I hadn't been so focused on doing this, I could have been there and seen that. Ugh, why did I have to be doing that then? Why does it happen for them like that? If I had seen what they had seen, then it would be different for me. If I could have, I think can be a question so many of us ponder, right? God, why do I have to do this when everyone else got to do that? God, why do I have to walk through this season? God, why did I have to go through this when others got to go through that? You know, sometimes that season, that journey can take many forms. Maybe it's sickness. Maybe it's a season of parenting or caring for others. Maybe even it was a season of disobedience. Tim, would you like to start coming back up? But what I learned from Jesus and Thomas is the risen Jesus can show up in any room. even when we think we have missed it. And now that the Holy Spirit has been given to us, the same power that raised him from the dead, even more so. Thomas went on to faithfully give his life to following Jesus. They credit many of the early churches in the Middle East and even through into India were part of Thomas's legacy of following Jesus. You know, you could be here in this room or maybe joining us online, and you might feel like you missed the first opportunity, or even maybe missed a few. But I really want to share with you this morning that Jesus is faithful to keep showing up. You don't need to miss the next opportunity to encounter him. Even though Thomas missed it, the tomb was still empty, and Jesus was still resurrected. Jesus still has the ability to bring healing to times or seasons that you feel like you missed it. And would you stand with me this morning? Yeah. I just want to pray for a few things this morning. I want to pray that we would all continue to have a deep revelation of the resurrected Christ. But I also want to pray this morning for those that maybe feel like they've missed opportunities or are walking in places or in seasons where you're going, God, why couldn't I have been there and been doing that? Why do I have to go through this? Because I want to pray and I want to believe that God is going to meet you in that season and place. And just like he worked through Thomas's story, that he will work through yours. And that your legacy will be one of a life that continues to fully and wholeheartedly pursue Jesus. So, you know, if that's maybe you this morning with with every eye closed in this place. And between you and God, if you feel like you can relate to Thomas's story, then actually there's something in your heart that goes, man, why did I have to be here when everyone else got to be there? Jesus, why didn't I get to be part of that? Jesus, why do I have to walk through this season? Why do I have to be doing this right now? You know, if that's you right now between you and God, I just want to pray for you. Jesus, we thank you that you are sovereign, that you are king, that you went to the cross, you took upon yourself all of our sin, all of our shame, all of our mistakes, and you made a way to reconcile us to the Father. Jesus, that when they went to the tomb, it was empty. That you are the resurrected Christ, that no longer do we need to fear death. No longer is death the punishment for our sin and what separates us from the Father. But we see in you the love of the Father. We see a God that redeems and restores, that shows up in unexpected places and calls unexpected people and does something amazing. And Jesus, right now, I just pray for all of those that feel like they missed an opportunity, where they had to walk seasons and they go, God, I wish I didn't have to. Right now, Holy Spirit, I pray that you will just touch their lives. Lord, as you have strengthened your disciples for generations before them, Lord, may they know a courage and a strengthening right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, may they know that no season needs to ever be wasted. But Lord, when they place it in your hands, that God, you will redeem and you will restore. And Lord, that from this point, they can continue to chase after Jesus. They can continue to walk with him in every season. And Lord, their lives can be set apart for a kingdom purpose and used for your glory. Lord, I pray for peace right now. I pray that any shame will be able to be surrendered at the foot of the cross. And they will know the freedom that comes from Jesus. And Lord, I pray that we will all have a deep revelation of the significance of the cross and the empty tomb. Lord, we're all across the world. People are laying down their lives for the truth of who Jesus is. Lord, let us carry that kind of courage and conviction in our hearts as well. And Lord, for that little girl, we pray that she will continue to have dreams of Jesus. Lord, that you will reveal yourself to her. Lord, that she will become a leader among her people. And Lord, one day we will stand beside her and worship Jesus together. Lord, our hearts long for that day. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.